Well, I would like to welcome everybody back to another episode of Save for the Blind. This is Carson Odegaard. My normal co-host, Jeff Smith, is out on vacation this week, so it will be me as well as a familiar voice on this podcast, Jason Koslovich, who is CWA's Egg Salvage Coordinator. And our guest today is Robert Jones, who runs the North Delta Duck Hatchery. Who actually owns the hatchery? Who's it under? It's not under CWA, is it?
No, it's actually North Delta Conservancy is the organization, and the hatchery is just one of our projects along with the wood duck project.
Got it. That makes more sense.
The hatchery is on Tyre Island. It's actually ours. You know, we kind of own it, but we're on Steve Mello's property. Like I said earlier, we're going to end up losing that. But I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, so... when was the hatchery started? How long ago was it started in that location?
Yeah, I think it was built in 1996.
Oh, wow.
North Delta Conservancy was started in the early 90s. I moved out here in 2001 and got involved right away. But the reason North Delta Conservancy was brought about was Stone Lakes Wildlife Refuge down the road. When they were in the planning stages, it was going to be way bigger than what it is now. They wanted to take a lot of land. And the Van Lobencells, Topper Van Lobencells, wife Linda, the Baronics, John and Kathy Baronic, late Chris Lee, Chris Folsker, they all started this to kind of go up against them. And apparently what they did, it worked because it's, the wildlife area is still pretty big, but they wanted it way bigger and it was going to take a lot of farmland.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting start. I did not know that. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, our mission is, the mission of our North Delta Conservancy is conserve, sustain, enhance the cultural, agricultural, recreational, wildlife, and natural habitat resources of the River Delta region to develop, promote sustainable protection, management, stewardship programs through research and education. I got involved shortly after I moved here, probably 2003. Stay at an event down at Juicy's and I seen what was going on. So I wanted to get involved. It took about, and this is kind of the same way too. It took about 3 weeks and I was on the board.
Early convinced.
Always looking for new blood and younger people.
Yeah.
And then I started off just being a volunteer at the hatchery. And then I did that for a couple years, and then I became president of North Delta Conservancy. And then I eventually just kind of took over the whole hatchery, manage it,
got
all the day-to-day operations. I have volunteers for every day of the week. Well, that's the goal, is to volunteer every day of the week. But this year, I think Alan's doing 2 days. He does Thursday and Friday. Well, we kind of split Friday, and I do Saturday. Like I said, the goal is to have 7, then it's not as bad. But, I'll end up going down to that hatchery four, five days a week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's so a work.
So for someone who's never, I guess, seen that hatchery or a hatchery in general, give us a kind of a description of what you're talking about with pens or incubators, or what does it look like?
We have one big pen that's divided into 8 little ponds, and it's probably 100 foot long, 30 foot wide. Each pen is 12 feet wide by 20 foot with a little concrete pond in the middle that gets changed and cleaned daily. And then at the end where you walk in is like an outside brooder area where we keep food. And they used to, when they'd get ducks, they'd leave them in brooders for a week or two. But I've found the last couple of years, quite a bit now, the sooner they get in water, the better. You know, unless we're not, like if I had some hatch today in this cold snap or yesterday, I'd wait a few days because of the cold snap. But anyway, then we have a little incubator house. It's only 10 by 10 with a we used to have three incubators going. We got one that stays pretty full. It's almost out now. Like Jason was saying, we're starting to get to the end.
Gotcha. So can you explain to folks where these eggs are coming from and why you're doing the hatching and they're not hatching out in the wild?
Well, we get a lot of our eggs through Jason, you know, through farmers that they're working their fields. And then Jason and his techs, you know, they bring me eggs from time to time. I got a gentleman in Linden. He's like the duck man in Linden. He goes around and he's always bringing me eggs. Well, usually backyard pool eggs, ducklings. And then we get a lot of live ducklings from humane societies. There's one in San Francisco, one in Saratoga. In fact, I think they're going to bring me some this week.
Gotcha. That's interesting. So, Jason, when did we start working? Because I know we've had or done work with the Rancho Escuon facility for a long time. I'm not super familiar with the North Delta duck hatchery. When did our participation start?
I believe North Delta and CWA have had a partnership for a long time.
Okay.
But CWA officially took on the egg salvage program in 2014.
Gotcha.
And we started working more closely with their hatchery facility. But I think you guys would always get bans from us, right, Robert?
Yeah, we've always gotten bans. Chris Folster, he was a big part of that hatchery. I don't know if you're familiar with Chris Folster. He used to own Broadway Bait in Sacramento.
I'm familiar with Broadway Bait, yeah.
Yeah. He's a good friend. I've known him since I lived out here. He pretty much taught me everything there is to know about the hatchery and banding ducks. So I would just start off helping him. He probably banded. I want to say we've probably banded over the last, since it started, close to 15,000.
Wow.
He probably did. He's done 10,000 easily. But he's getting older. He kind of handed it off to me. Dude, I think he just turned 93 or 94. Oh, geez. And he actually ducked. He didn't. I think he went one time this year, but I think he's going to officially give it up. He hunts out at the Glide.
Out of each other, Yolerosin.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. How many ducks are you hatching per year out of that hatchery?
Right around 500.
Oh, wow. That's a good amount.
We're usually around, I guess years ago, they had a time where they had 800 plus. Chris would get eggs from like City of Davis when they mow.
Oh, yeah.
But we haven't heard from them in a long time.
Gotcha.
Incubator set up at Broadway Bait.
Yeah.
Oh, at the store?
Yeah. And that was actually quite like, I mean, over the years, that was one of the more well-known drop-off locations that we've had established, because it was just like, you know, anybody who's a sportsman and a farmer who's going to come across eggs, you know, they know where Broadway Bait is in that area. And so it just became like a thing. And I remember, my first year, they sent me down there to pick up a load of eggs and bring them to the hatchery. And I was like, what? I'm going to a bait tackle shop to pick up a load of an egg? Yeah, you go to the buy room there and that incubator full of egg.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Chris did a lot for the program. He's a good deer.
Well, they used to be able to take ducks there and they'd clean them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a big part of Broadway Bay, because we used to do a thing called the abandoned duck dinner. It was a free dinner at Justy's at Mark Mariah's. Chris would supply abandoned ducks, people that don't pick up. He'd have thousands, literally thousands, at the end of the season.
So people that had dropped off ducks at the store and never came and picked them up.
Yeah, paid for them, everything. It just never came back. So we'd do it would be for all our big sponsors and donors, a free dinner at Juicy's. Did that for years, but Juicy's burned down a few years ago, so that kind of came to an end.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that they did that. So how are we funding, or how are you funding the hatchery? Like, where's the money coming for this?
We had two two major fundraisers. We have a dinner, an annual dinner, which we split with CBUA. In fact, we're the only dinner, I think, still that we split the proceeds with CBUA.
Oh, interesting.
And then we do a fun shoot, which we just had a couple weeks ago out at Bird Landing. That, for years, that was just us. CBUA, Tim DeVanis would come out and help.
Mm-hmm.
But then when COVID hit, we decided that we would split our proceeds with CBUA then. Because, you know, I think we have a great partnership with CBUA. I think between the two events, I think we make probably 50 to 60 grand.
Oh, wow.
A year. And that covers, all the hatchery stuff.
And you said it's basically run by volunteers mostly.
Yeah. Myself and then volunteers.
Is anybody able to like sign up to request a volunteer? Is that a thing that's possible?
Yeah. Every year we go through a few and we put some out on Facebook or I've had Jason do it on the CBUA Facebook page, you know, looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
It's funny because we'll get some and they'll be way down in Southern California. And they don't realize how far as, I don't know if you want to come that
way. Oh, yeah.
So this would be a good place to plug that. I mean, if you live in the greater Sacramento area and you have some free time on your hands and you care about waterfowl conservation and want to get your hands dirty and play with ducklings on a daily basis for 3-4 months out of the year, get a hold of me or Robert. We'd always use volunteers at the hatchery. It's a daily thing and you got to be there daily. And so just not everybody can do that. So it's nice to have people filling gaps. And
yeah. And usually like when we're going full bore, you know, if we had all 8 pens full, I usually keep no more than 30 ducks in a group. A volunteer can spend 2 hours out there, maybe at the most.
Yeah. What's the common duties for the volunteer?
First you go and check the incubator, make sure there's no new hatches. We keep a small brooder inside with a heat lamp. They'll go in there first. They check on that and then they go out and milk. They start at one end and drain the ponds and scrape all the poop and
gotcha.
And wash it down and make sure they got food.
Yeah.
I always give them hell because, some of it'll take them 2 hours. I've been doing it so long. I got a system down. I can be in and out of there in about 50, 45 minutes. it's really rewarding. I get a lot of people when I tell them what I do and fishy non-hunters, they go, what, do you raise them so you can go kill them?
Yeah.
Not like that at all. You know, and then, I do hunt. Everybody on my board hunts, pretty much all of them. Ducks, it kind of runs my life. You know, when duck season's done, the end of January, I start getting ready for the dinner in March. I start prepping the hatchery. You know, the hatchery starts up the end of March, the end of April. And then we got the dinner at the end of March. And then I'm rolling right in. We're just taking care of the ducks. And then got the fun shoot. And then the hatchery usually winds down. It's gone as long, a couple times it's gone into September, but usually August it'll be done. And then I get about a month or two for deer hunting, and then it's right back to ducks again.
Yeah. Is the hatchery open on a daily basis? Or I know, Jason, we do like visits for Rancho Esquan. Do we do stuff there as well? Or how does that work?
A couple at North Delta. It is more of a remote location. So it's on Tyler Island. It's down a bumpy, you know, old paved road and then down a gravel dirt road for a while. So it's hard to get to. And we don't open it to public. We have done hatchery tours where it's open to the public before. But
okay.
As far as like letting public out there every day, that's just not good. You don't want any disturbance with the ducklings or as little as possible. Obviously, you don't want them being around humans all day. And you just don't, you know, if you put signs up saying open to the public, you don't know what people are out there doing.
Hey, definitely.
We try to keep it low key. And then every once in a while, we'll throw a tour for people down in that area and okay. See the facility.
Okay.
Yeah, it is on private property. You know, the farmers around there see it. They get used to our vehicles.
Yeah.
And where our hatchery is, there was always a, there's a small trailer there that one of the farmhands would live in. But nobody's lived there in the last 6 months. So we've had problems in the past when they were stealing copper out here. They went in one day and stole literally 12 foot of stinking copper between the power box and the, just enough to make it a pain in the ass. Yeah. Get it going again.
Definitely. Do you guys release these birds that are now or will be full fledged in different locations throughout the state? How does that work, Jason?
We try to prioritize volunteers and people who bring us ducklings and eggs first as far as release locations go, because we want to give the birds back to where they came from.
Oh, interesting.
And then as long as they have, you know, criteria that meets a good release location, no water for at least the next several weeks, good cover, it's just good habitat in general and place to release them. We pretty much try to spread them out, try to give everybody their share of birds. And we spread them out pretty far throughout the state. We've released them up in the northeastern California and as far south as like LA. So,
oh, wow. Spread
them out quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a right near our hatchery on Tyre Islands, a big high dollar club called Generations or Tyre Island Habitat. And they hold they have some really good brooding ponds where they hold water all summer. And I have full run of that. And I'll release over there because it's nice and close.
I'll release
up at Teal Ridge. I hunt up in near Dunnigan, Zamora. Teal Ridge is up there. They got best garter snake habitat ponds that hold water all year round. So that's another good spot for me to release.
Our hunt program is now accepting applications for fall hunts. Fall hunts include deer, pig, turkey, dove, goose, and duck. Visit calwaterfowl.org to apply today. While you're there, don't miss our membership deal. Purchase a membership and receive a free 80th anniversary hat while supplies last. You can also apply for hunts, purchase tickets for upcoming events, and show your support for waterfowl conservation. Upcoming events are Chino Banquet, July 31st, Santa Margarita Banquet, August 2nd.
Yeah, I think people get the misconception, you know, you release a band of birds, and then you're just releasing them for yourself to go shoot bands. And I know for a fact, all the hunts that I've run at Grizzly Ranch, I mean, we release a good chunk of birds during the summer out there for our summer camps. And the only time I've ever seen anybody shoot a egg salvage band at Grizzly Ranch was we used to have the veteran blind on the side that we used to do the releases on, which we no longer have. Our veteran blind is now on the normal hunt side. And they shot two out of one group on opening day. And that was it. And we put them in the water where there's water now because there's not a lot of water. But once everybody starts flooding up, they disperse. Like, they get out of there.
Ducks got wings.
Yeah, and they're going to chase that fresh flood up. They've been sitting in the same water for 3 months. They got water around.
The only egg salvage bird I've ever shot was actually one of your birds, Robert. It was a gadwall that you released at a lake south of Sacramento.
Yeah, blog it.
Yeah, it wound up. And a rice field in Grimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was banded the same year.
Get up.
We're releasing them right now, right? June, July, August is our big release months. And once they get flighted, they mix in with those wild birds pretty quick, and they're going wherever the wild birds go. They don't stick around there, you know, all summer long. That's just not what they do. They bounce around.
I get a couple of hunts out of that Tyre Island, and one I didn't hunt this last year. But the year before, there was a gentleman in a blind next to me actually shot one of my birds. So I've come close, and there weren't many mallards flying that day, so I'm pretty sure I at least saw it, you know. But I think that'd be a dream come true, you know, to do something that I brought into this world.
Yeah, Jason, you talked about shooting a gadwall, so I just had assumed that they were all mallards that we hatch out, because that's what I see you guys bring to Grizzly Ranch from whichever hatchery you bring them from. What birds have you guys hatched other than mallards?
A little bit of everything. We've had mallards, gadwall, cinnamon teal, the occasional wood ducks from boxes that get knocked over by tractors or stuff like that. And then you get a random oddball every now and then. So like last year we had a brood of pintail, really? Brood of spoonies every now and then. I don't know if we've got anything
too crazy other than spoonies and pintail.
We're almost all mallard now. I haven't seen a teal come through our place in a long time. When we were getting those gadwall, USGS was doing a survey at Grizzly Island. It was a nest manipulation survey where they would go in, find a nest, and we got a lot of gadwall eggs from them. They take half the eggs and just leave it like that,
they were taking eggs out of nests to see at what point birds will abandon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They have control groups where they would replace them with fake eggs. And yeah, it was really a study. But those couple of years, North Delta got a ton of gadwall.
Met nests at Grizzly Island. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they would put, you know, they would take some eggs and just put some broken eggshells in there just to see what the hen would do.
Oh, that's a cool study. Cool.
Yeah.
Do we have any odd recovery locations from these birds? Obviously they're, you know, born or they were laid in a ag field somewhere in California, hatched in California in a pen and then released. Where have we found these birds that have gone before that isn't in California that may be kind of out of the ordinary?
I have the data pulled up. If you can still hear me.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. We did every year. I put together a little report for our three hatchery facilities. As to like birds they released and where they got returned from or where they got reported at. And so I'm looking at my most recent one. So this is, birds returned that were banded at North Delta. But basically birds that were shot from 2023 to 2025. And then I have a couple highlighted here that are kind of out of the ordinary. So we had one that was released at Tyler Island and 2014, and in 2024 it was shot near Woodson, Columbia County, Oregon. So that one's kind of cool.
10 years old. Wow.
Yep, 10 years old. We got a 7-year-old bird that was shot. It was again released at Tyler Island, shot in Elmore County, Idaho at CJ Strike Wildlife Management Area. That one made it a little ways. We got one that was 4 years old, released down in the marsh and shot in Lafayette County, Arkansas.
That's wild.
Another one that was 4 years old, released down at Teal Ridge, shot in Gooding County, Idaho. And the last one I have highlighted, was just a Klamath bird. So that's not too crazy, I guess, but that one was a year old. And then, yeah, sometimes they make it, you know, I've seen them up to 12, 13 years old. Pretty impressive.
Send me that, Jason. I don't think I've got that last one.
Okay. Yep.
Report.
Yep.
Years ago, I was doing a job in San Ramon at Ack Bell Business Park, and they have these big, huge lakes, and they have a real bad honker problem. So I was telling the lady I was working for, I was doing some concrete work out there, and I told her what I did. She said, if you want to come get these eggs, come get whatever you want. So me and my son, Zach, one Sunday, we took my side-by-side out there and drove around. We collected 460 hawker eggs. This was in March, so we didn't even start getting duck eggs yet. I filled up two or three incubators. Well over half of them hatched. I had all the pens were full of honkers. They just destroyed my hatchery.
I've heard it can be mean.
We couldn't get bands because the feds don't want you banding honkers because they figured they're a nuisance. They told me, you know, don't even go out there and get the eggs no more. They go out there and they oil them.
Yeah.
So we got our own bands, and then we banded a bunch. And I think this was 10, 15 years ago. And I think maybe the last couple of years we got a report from one shot somewhere. Yeah.
But
it was funny. It was my volunteers, because this, like I said, we got all that. That was all before the duck egg showed up. Thank God. Well, all my volunteers told me they'd quit if I ever did that again. Yeah.
You're talking.
Oh, yeah, I don't even take goslings no more. I think Rancho still does, but.
You were talking about in that scenario about or over 50% of the eggs hatching. What's our success on eggs that we get in versus eggs that actually hatch? Do we have that data?
It's, I think, gosh, what is it? I've heard the number. I haven't like ran the statistics on the eggs in a long time, but I think it was like 92%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it's over 90%.
Yeah. And it, I mean, that's kind of skewed too, because before we even logged them in the book, we candle through them and decided to plot nests or anything like that. So if we get a nest in like this time of the year, if I get a call right now and I go out and pick it up, it's probably rotten. And says that nest, I will record it in our data as far as me picking it up, but the hatchery won't record it.
Yeah.
We'll make it into their ink.
It's not even worth our time.
But as far as like eggs that are viable or possibly viable, it's like 92% or so that will make it to hatch, which is really high.
Do we have any data on once the birds are released? Because obviously these birds for the first however long of their life aren't out in the wild. So
yeah, we don't, it's hard to tell on the first summer, right? Because there's no return data on them until the first duck season. But comparing similar size groups of, you know, wild banded mallards and swimming traps versus egg salvage ducklings that we release, you compare 1,000 birds to 1,000 birds, and then come that first duck season on until, you know, 5-6 years down the road, the mortality rates are very similar. So who knows what happens that first summer? A lot of it depends on the release location. Like I can tell when I'm doing those yearly reports for the hatcheries, I can tell what is a good release location and what isn't based on how many returns we get. So if we get a lot of birds shot that were released at, say, Teal Ridge, which we do, I know that's a good release location because those birds are making it to duck season. And then there's a spots where we pour a bunch of birds into and you never hear back a single band report. You're like,
oh, interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you need to have at least like, what is it, Jason? 75% cover. You know,
you want good vegetation. Yep.
Yeah. And then Teal Ridge and, well, in fact, Tyre Island, I was going to call, I don't know if I could release anymore out there. It's so overgrown. I could barely get down the roads. I don't know what's going on out there, but, when I got to wade through 20 yards of smartweed or weed to get out to release.
Well, that's no fun. When we had started kind of talking before this, you had mentioned that your current location is actually closing and you're going to be moving. So you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, Steve Mello Farms, you know, he's been gracious enough. Like I said, our hatchery's been out there since 96. We've never paid for a drop of electricity. You know, he just eats that, doesn't even charge us. They're selling. And he told me that he would try to, whoever bought it, he would try to see if they would just leave it in place. You know, I'm sure we'd probably have to pay for electricity. But, our facility is just starting to get run down. It gets sunbeat. You know, the whole south side of the building needs to be replaced. About 10 years ago, we did a big major overhaul. We put about $8,000 or $9,000 into it. And then, it's 20 minutes from my house out there. So I started thinking, you know, maybe now's the time to try to find another place. But like I said, we thought we had something lined up with Staten Island and Nature Conservancy. But I just kind of had a lot of second thoughts about that. Nature Conservancy, they're huge. They're international.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was just, I would be afraid if something went south, we'd lose it.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I kept telling them when we were in the early talks, I said, this is going to be
North Delta Conservancy and CBUA Hatchery.
Yeah.
And so, kind of oomph and aah about that. So
what's the plans now currently?
I have a place right next door here. In fact, I can look out my window and see where it's going to be on the old Giovanni Ranch. It was Silverdale. The Perez's owned it. They just sold it. And then actually one of my board members or on Justin Van Loven sales, his follow-up bought the whole place. And it's the same place where the barn is, where we do our annual dinner.
Oh, that works out.
Yeah. So, you know, we're thinking about maybe even, you know, you run people out there if they want to check it out. You know, the end of March, we probably would have nothing out there. But we're going to have to. I drove out there yesterday to the spot that Justin was thinking about, and I think it is a good spot, but we're going to have to probably run power. We're going to have to get a meter for ourselves, and we're probably going to have to sink a well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to move when you've had something for such a long time, but it's always nice to have the prospects of having new facilities.
Yeah, but then you know, over the years, I'm always doing improvements out there, trying to make it easier for the volunteers. You know, so I see what works and what doesn't. So starting from fresh, it should be pretty cool.
You
know, we'll know what to do and what not to do.
Yeah. Have you been up to Rancho West Juan, Robert?
It's been a while. It's probably been 10 years. I'd like to go out there and look at that before I start planning more on this.
There's some design things there that I think you should consider as far as like making it easy to band birds. That's the biggest thing I see with that facility versus other ones, is just so easy to corral the birds and catch them and band them, that just little things. And like actually your guys is newer than Rancho, but Rancho was based off of District 10. And basically when they designed Rancho, they fixed all the issues that the people at District 10 did not like about their facility. So
yeah,
like a constant, and that's something that no one else in the nation's doing. And it's a really goofy facility. You think about it, right? Like something designed to raise wild ducklings. No one else is doing that. No one else is building that. So it's been a, you know, 3-decade learning curve of the most efficient way to build something like that.
How many hatcheries are out there right now?
There's just 3.
Okay.
North Delta, Rancho West Juan, and District 10. And there had been more in the past, but those were real small backyard, I'm talking like literally someone's backyard.
Yeah. Mom and pop was kind of thing. Yeah.
Wasn't one of them like only like 4 feet tall? You couldn't even stand up in them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yep. Yeah, there was Roger Moore down in Grimes. He had one. And Daryl Daly in Live Oak, he had one. There's probably more that I'm unaware of, but they've been doing it for decades and decades. So constantly evolving and building better facilities.
And what's the purpose of having them in different locations? Just easier for pickup and drop off? And then do you ever max out on the number of birds that we have at a hatchery at one time where you have to take them to another one?
We haven't maxed out in a long time. It's just the way you see our local, you know, mallard populations are going down and down and down. So, back in my first year or two, it was like there was birds in every single pen at Rancho, every single pen at North Delta. And we weren't working with, actually D10 was shut down back then. But it's just the bird populations keep dropping. It's harder and harder to fill the pens. It is nice having them spread out. Like Robert's hatchery takes care of anything down in that area. So we get a lot of backyard nests in Sacramento and Bay Area and stuff like that. It's a shorter drive for them, those volunteers, to take all those ducklings over to him. And then like we get the nests out of wheat fields down there and dairies up in Linden, stuff like that. All that stuff will end up at Robert's house or Robert's facility. And then Rancho West Juan and D10 are kind of spread out through the valley up here. And we're both in fairly convenient locations. So wherever we're closest to, wherever someone's driving by or whatever, you know, we just figure it out as we go. I got three nests in my backyard. Someone's heading by Marysville. I'll throw them the nest. They can take them to D10.
Yeah.
Works out.
Yeah. And I actually have a little brooder and a incubator here at the house because Dave sent it all the text. They usually drop it off here at my house. And then I run them out to the hatchery.
Okay.
I think the other day, what's the kid's name that's been coming out here, Jason?
Josh.
Josh, yeah, I finally got him out to the hatchery.
Yeah,
he wanted to go out there. But yeah, so you know, this time of year, I'm a general contractor. I work on school, so I'm real busy. So I keep an incubator here, and then my wife's home all the time. So people bring eggs, stick them in there, turn it on, and then I'll transport them down. Getting back to that Stone Lakes, you know, when they started NDC to kind of go up against them, they ended up being a partner with us too. They had they used to keep an incubator there and would be a drop off location.
Okay.
Because one of the guys that worked there was on our board, but he's since retired, so we don't speak too much from them.
So obviously, you know, you're busy with a full time job. Why do this? Why is it so rewarding for you to be in the egg salvage and to help the ducks?
I guess first of all, you know, I love duck hunting, doing it for a long time. I feel that I put back way more than I take doing what I'm doing. But it is really rewarding, you know, and it's, you got to admit, little baby ducklings are cute as hell.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat.
You know, the volunteers, when they first go out there, they just fall in love. And I got some volunteers who have been doing it for going on 10, 15 years, 12 years.
That's pretty good. Would you like to, while you have the floor, give any shout outs to any people or organizations that have helped you achieve your goals or the Conservancy's goals in the past?
Yeah. Well, we just have a long list of donors and supporters. You know, Court CWA, you know, I think we work great together. When my dinners come up and the fun shoot, that time of year, as soon as I walk in off a local business, they go, "Oh crap, what do you want now?" And that's probably one of the worst things, is going around asking for money.
Oh yeah.
A lot of them, they've just been supporters for as long as I've been doing it. George Cammer is a big supporter of us. Friends are Gary and Shirley Lapp out of San Ramon. They do the fun shoot, and then they donate $1,500 to the event. Good friend of mine, Johnny Russo, Osarius, Environmental. In fact, didn't you talk to him? He won one of the sweepstakes thing in the last couple months. Was that you, Carson, that made that phone call?
No, thankfully I'm out of the fundraising department. I get to stay in the hunt program. So it wasn't me, but it was somebody from our office. If he did one.
Yeah. But he'll give me whatever I ask for, you know, something like that. For our new hatchery coming up, you know, we're going to supply some funds. I'm expecting CBWA is going to pitch in. We'll probably do I thought about doing a GoFundMe page.
It's not a bad idea.
For that, you know, but George Cammer said he would contact, you know, a lot of his farmer buddies around there and people that own big businesses. I think we're going to do all right. I'm thinking for $100,000, we could probably build us a real nice one.
Nice. Jason, do you have anybody that you want to kind of give a shout out to that's helped us? Any egg salvage stuff?
Oh, there's too many to name. There's been a lot of big donors throughout the years that have really made the program, you know, sustainable. And then all the farmers, just farmers who regularly participate in the program, whether they find eggs or not, whether they have good fields that year or not, those are the people I appreciate the most, because they make my job the easiest. And my job is getting the farmers to enroll and getting the eggs out of their field. When I got a guy who I just know's going to get them, his you know, equipment operators are going to pick up the eggs, or if he's got a field that's really good, he's going to call me and I'm going to drag it. That's just like one less area, one less ranch I got to worry about. And those are the people I really appreciate. People like Brian Park and Meridian, Denise and Ben Carter and Calusa. I'd have to pull up my list. There's 35 of them that enroll every year and that are really reliable. And I appreciate all of those people.
Good.
I wish we had more farmers like that in our area.
Then we got, Peter Westine, BWC Westine Dairy in Linden. We bring all those eggs to you guys down there at North Delta. He got our Farmer of the Year award a couple years ago. He
he's been super good, and he's finding eggs while he's chopping his crops for cattle feed.
And so I don't know if you've ever seen your chopper, but it's a big, you know, heavy machinery farm equipment with cutting head on the front of it and a spout out the back that shoots the chopped up food into the feed trucks. And those things move like 12, 13 miles an hour, depending on how thick the cover is. And when you're flushing hens at that fast, he said he gets the brakes and the whole back tires of that thing come off the ground. And he finds, I don't know what, normally 50, 60, 100 eggs a year for us.
That's awesome.
He's been super good.
Yeah. I think he's been out to my house. I've met him.
Oh, very cool.
Like I said, I got some good volunteers. We got some good supporters. I love what I do. You know, it's all about the ducks. You know, in fact, my wedding band is up. It's like
and Jeff Smith matching.
Yeah, so mine says banded by Christine, and she had one that said banded by Robert.
Classic.
I didn't know Jeff had that.
Jeff has the same thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys hopping on with me today. Robert, we appreciate all the work you do out there. We could not do without you, so... Again, Robert Jones, we appreciate it. Jason, I appreciate you hopping on with me for another episode of Save for the Blind. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Save for the Blind podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.